Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
God's good, isn't he? Wonderful things are taking place, folks. There's power and grace galore in the kingdom and in the earth today. And so we're just going to tap into it like never before. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we need to quit playing church. We need to quit getting people to believe that we're Christians and start being Christians. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That was all for free. All right. Amen. So why don't you open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the first chapter. Right. Amen. And after you find that, then stick a finger there and go over to Romans chapter 11, because we're going to be in both places. Hallelujah. I've got something that has been on my heart for a while. The Lord gave this message to me probably 2 months ago, maybe more. And as I've been reading and just meditating, he'd throw a little nugget in once in a while to help me to understand that this is the way that we needed to go. And so I'm gonna unload all the nuggets on you tonight. How's that? Amen. Praise God. Did you find John's Gospel, the first chapter? Everybody there? Amen. We're going to start with verse 19. Hallelujah. And it said this. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Amen. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Amen. I am the voice of one crying. Hallelujah. Keep that in mind as we go to Romans chapter 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at, start with verse 1. "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, when he pleads with God against Israel, saying, 'Lord, they have killed your prophets and they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life.' But what does the divine response say to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.'" Father, we thank you tonight, and we just bless you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Even today, there's a remnant. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the remnant church. We're not going to talk about the church as a whole. We're going to talk about the remnant church. A church within a church. Amen. A church that we as a people are desiring to get to. A church that is hungry. A church that is developing itself into something other than, "Let's go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays." There are people who are seekers. They're going after God with all their heart. Amen. They're not satisfied with what's going on. I can tell you right now, I am not satisfied with my life as it is right now in the body of Christ. I'm just not. Amen. Hallelujah. There's got to be more to this kingdom dynamics than what I am seeing right now. Amen. But God says, I have a remnant at this present time. And what was the qualification for this remnant? That they did not bow their knee to Baal. They did not bow their knee to the world. Amen. They are a people who are not like other people. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's always kept for himself a people that he can count on. Amen. They are like himself. They don't compromise. Amen. They don't change. And their hearts are steadfast in what they believe. Have you ever known God to change? You know, it says in Malachi, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. I don't change. Amen. And you and I are not supposed to be changing. The very things that brought us into the kingdom are the things that should be keeping us in the kingdom. Amen. And we shouldn't be going after something new or something untried. Amen. I'll stick with the word because I know it's already says it's been tested and tried. Amen. And so I don't have to look for anything else. I don't have to try other religions. I don't have to go after other things. Amen. I know where I need to be, and I'm going to stay with that. I have for 20 some years now. Amen. 28 years. I've stayed in the camp of God, and I've never dabbled in anything else. Amen. Never had to. Never wanted to. Amen. Hallelujah. Had opportunities, but I still didn't want to. Amen. Hallelujah. God calls these people a remnant. Amen. Not a leftover. Amen. A remnant. Hallelujah. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this in the Amplified Bible about cheerful givers. It says, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompted-to-it giver whose heart is in their giving. Amen? See, God can't, he has to have those type of people. Amen? Not just givers, like, you know, financial or things like that, but givers of themselves, people who are willing to do above and beyond what is expected. Amen? And so that's the type of church that we're building as this remnant here right now. Amen? Hallelujah. See, there's plenty of other seats available for those who want to come in and be a part of this. Hallelujah. But they have to want to come in and be a part of it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So this is a good thing. Amen. The thing that we need to do. Praise God. So the time's come for us to make a choice on whose side we're going to be on. Amen. Whether or not we're going to be on God's side or whether or not we're going to be on the side of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I wrote this down because God gave me this little statement. He gives me statements. He doesn't give me ramblings, but he does give me statements. Amen. And I really like this because it talks about the remnant. He said this was in 2016. He said, those who walk in holiness will be the last remnant of people I will use before my return. Amen. Those who walk in holiness. What is this? With wings sticking out of our, you know, shoulder blades and floating around the air? No. What's holiness mean? Those who are set apart. That's all it means. Those who will not compromise. Those who will not do anything out of the norm. Those who stick to the plan. Amen? He said, these are the people I'm going to use right before I return. Glory to God. You know, that's pretty powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever I thought of that, I thought of that today and I wrote it down. And I also thought about what it says. And I'm just going to read this because I wrote it down. So I'm going to read it. Amen. I went to the trouble of writing it down. So I'm going to read it. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says this. For though you might have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. That's what Paul said. Amen. Paul realized there weren't enough mothers and fathers into faith to teach, to bring up, to nurture the rest of the people. Amen. We need these people. We don't just need believers, but we need mothers and fathers. We need disciples. Amen. We need people who are willing to move out of this stale life that sometimes we live in. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul's seen it. And he says, I urge you to imitate me. Do what I'm doing. Amen. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Go after the things that I'm going after because I'm going after God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's a pretty interesting time that we're living in now. And I'm excited about the time. A lot of people are thinking that, you know, everything's going to hell in a handbasket, but I don't think so. I think the body of Christ is right where it needs to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's move on because I got some points I want to give to you here in just a little bit. Let's go to the book of Esther. Amen. Does everybody know Esther? No, that is not Lamont Sanford's aunt. Amen. Hallelujah. Esther. Where are you, Esther? I even wrote down the page number. Oh, I went past you. Amen. We remember who Esther was. She was the queen. And Haman was wanting to try to destroy the Jews. And so he tricked the king into making a mandate that the Jews were to be killed. Well, Esther's uncle Mordecai found out about it. And so he sent word to Esther about what she should do. Amen? And so let's look at this. And we're going to start in chapter 4, Esther chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13. Is everybody there? You found Esther, right? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not one that we use often, but hey. And it says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape into king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, do you see what that? Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. He said, you cannot remain silent in this. There's a mandate that's been placed on your life to speak and to deliver a message. But she didn't want to do that because the rule was that if you came into the presence of the king without being invited, it was a death sentence right then, unless he held up the golden scepter. Amen. And then you could. Hallelujah. So she was looking out for her own safety, thinking that, you know, that this is not time. He said, you've come to the kingdom for this time. You and I are here right now at this time, born when you were for such a time as this. Amen. These are the last of the last. This is the generation, folks, that is going to turn the world upside down. And we got to be prepared for it. Amen. We got to be prepared for what needs to be done. Hallelujah. So Mordecai seen that she had influence and she could influence the king. Hallelujah. Why she influenced him to pick her to be queen in the first place. Amen. So there was something. Her voice needed to be spoken. Amen. She needed to be speaking right now. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what's that going to do for us now? We've got a mandate tonight. not at some other time, but tonight, starting this very moment, amen, of something that we need to do, because we're going to be held accountable on the day of judgment for what we did not do, just as importantly as what we did do. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need to really look at some things differently. Praise God. Now, as I was praying about this, the Lord gave me four things that you and I must do if we want to become a part of this last day's remnant. Hallelujah. There may be more, but these were the four that he gave me. And so we're going to look at them tonight, if that's okay with you. Amen. Number one is that to be a part of the last day's remnant, you have to stay close to God. You have to stay close to God. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. You can't straddle the fence. You can get by with straddling the fence in a lot of things, but when it comes to the things of God, you have to be in or out. Amen. There's no other thing that you can do. Praise God. Now let's look at this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. And this is not going to be one of them things. It may be a little bit sobering, but these are some very sobering times that we're living in. And so I think it's a good thing for us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 21. And we're going to look at several scriptures, amen, throughout this. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You can't do that. Amen. It won't work. You can't act like one thing when you're really something else. Amen. You can't do both. It's not allowed in the kingdom of God. You either are for him or you're going to be against him. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have to do and choose. Choose this day who you will serve, Joshua said. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't hear that like you should. People making statements and standing by their statements. Amen. Come on, someone smile. All right. Let's go to James chapter 4. Going to look at something here too. Amen. Well, I can feel my heart beating. It's so quiet in here. Hallelujah. If you want a real funny thing, you have to get Pastor Mark or Pastor Chuck, I guess. Because tonight I am the bearer of the word. Amen for this. James chapter 4, are you there? Praise God. Let's look at this in verse 8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen. So let's quit playing games, he's saying. Amen. You got to cleanse yourself of all the things that are holding you back. Most of the stuff that is holding people back are not huge, gigantic sin type deals. Amen. They're just a culmination of a lot of little things that they're letting hold them back. Amen. I can tell in my own life whenever something is holding me back. I can tell it. Amen. If I'm really honest with myself, this is not something that I need in my life. Amen. This is holding me back. It could be a TV show. It could be a hobby, or it can be all kinds of different things. Amen. So we got to start looking at things from the perspective of what's going to please God. Amen. Instead of me, praise the Lord. Amen. James chapter 4 again. Let's go up, move back to verse 4. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Amen? You can't be that. We can't be that. We should know that, shouldn't we? This is not something that is like revelation to us now at this stage of what we're doing. These are just common sense things. Amen? So we got to start drawing near to God. You know, I think about what is said that on the day that the Lord ascended to heaven, it says that there were 500 people, around 500 people saw that take place when he ascended to heaven. And yet, by the time that they all go up to the upper room, it falls down to about 120. Amen? Isn't that something? 500 people saw the miraculous before their eyes, but yet they never stayed in that proximity with God. And so therefore, by the time that Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there, it dwindled down. Amen? Because other things started coming up, popping up. Well, I got this and I got that, you know, and different things. Amen. Now, I'm not saying these things to, you know, to make you feel bad about yourself or anything like that. But, you know, they always say, you know, if the proverbial shoe fits, wear it. Amen. And do some walking away. Amen. Hallelujah. And Pastor and I were talking about this in the office, about the 10 virgins. Only 5 of them took extra oil. Only 5 of them were prepared to meet the bridegroom. The others had to go their way. They had to go down to Walmart, and hopefully they had it there. Amen. But where were the rest? Why weren't they all there? Why didn't they, whenever they saw that the 5 had extra oil, they said, oh man, we got to go now. Let's go back and get this before it's too late. Because you never know when the bridegroom is going to come. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Well, this is good preaching anyway. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. If you don't want to stay close to God, you'll be pulled away by the influence of the world. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Amen? You'll never defeat the devil on his own turf. Don't even try. You don't have what it takes. Amen? There's no anointing on you in the devil's playground. None whatsoever. If you want to fight him, you have to bring him into your arena. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that was really good. Praise God. That's just point one. Let's go on to point two, because that one there was just phenomenal. Amen? Number two, point two is that the Word of God has to be your foundation. The Word of God has to be your foundation. Let's look at this in Mark chapter 4. Amen. I'm just teaching tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to look at verse 24. And we're going to read it out amplified. It says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of the thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Amen. So the thought and study, everybody should study the Word. It's okay to read the Word. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, that's part of what we're doing with our year, you know, of reading. But there are some times when you just need to go back. Something caught your eye. And you need to go back and look at that with just a little more sincerity. Amen. Just study it. Because it's saying here that the measure of thought and study you give will be the measure of virtue and power that you get in return. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get everything that the Word of God has. Amen. Colossians 3:16 says this. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Amen. Richly means wealthy and abundantly. In other words, profusely. It's just like coming out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is how you and I stay in the position that the word is our foundation, and we're built on a rock. We're not built on sand. Amen. Because now with the word of God dwelling in us, now our words have power. Amen. Our words have power. Our words are able to create. Our words are able to stifle. Our words are able to bring things to pass. Amen. But what happens if your words don't have any power? There's a scripture I'd like to show you in Ecclesiastes. Why don't you go there? Why are we going through all of this stuff? This will make a lick of sense. Well, you'll find out. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we're going to look at something here. Amen. When you get there, let me know. Everybody there? Ecclesiastes 9, let's look at verse 16. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Amen. A poor man's wisdom. Well, what would that be? Well, as I thought about that, this is the wisdom that comes from me. Amen. That's why Jesus said that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Amen. Because it is bringing his power into their words. And the things that they say with his backing now means something. But if you don't have that, somebody will listen to. Have you ever listened to someone and then forget everything they said? Yeah. Like, you know, you blinked your eyes and you done forgot. Amen. Of course, everybody has. Why is it? Because you're not interested in their words. You're not interested in what they have to say. Amen? And that's a poor man's wisdom. It says his words are never heard. No one remembers his words. No one remembers what he has spoken. Amen? But the word of the wise, the word of the person who is speaking the word of God, their words are heard. Amen. You know what they say about Jesus? They said he speaks like a person with authority. Amen. Hallelujah. And even Paul, he said, I didn't come to you with men's speech. I came with you with the power of God. The words that he spoke. And people remembered them. Amen. People remembered everything that he spoke. Hallelujah. That's good. They'll listen. They'll listen whenever your words have weight. Amen. We're talking about the day that we're living in now. People will change their mind about things. People that you didn't think would ever change their mind about anything. If you bring them something that they can't refute, then you'll turn them. Amen. And it won't be you. It'll be what God spoke to you. Amen. You know, Jesus told that, he said, you know, when they bring you before all these people, he said, don't be concerned about what you're going to say. He said, because the Holy Spirit will give you the thing to say at that moment. So don't try to rehearse stuff. Amen. Just let that word start rising up on the inside of you. Amen. And let it be the thing that is going to do the speaking for you. Amen. Oh, I tell you, that's good. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go on. Number three, you got to transform your thinking. You can't think the same old way you used to think. Amen. You know, we talked about this in Romans chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to transform your thinking. You got to get, that's what, you know, number point two and point three, they go together. Amen. The word is your foundation, and the word will eventually start to change the way you think. Amen. It'll start to change the way you think. Hallelujah. Only by transforming your thinking will you be able to understand the plan of God. That's the only way. Amen. It's too great and too wonderful and too beautiful for you and I to be thinking of it with our own little thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can't just read the Bible. You know, reading the Bible, but let me read it. So, bless God. So I got it right. Just reading your Bible will not do it unless it goes from your head to your heart and then back to your head. Does that make any sense? Well, what happened? Well, before, when you were reading a word, your thinking couldn't do anything with it, so it just throws it down to your heart. It says, I don't understand this. It's goofy, dumb, and everything. Your heart takes it and goes, wow, this is great. And I got to share this with something. And the only thing it has to share it with is your head. And so it pops it back up there. But this time, whenever it goes back up, it's got the anointing of God on it. And so now that your head has got it, now it sees, oh my God, this is great. How did I miss this before? Amen. Well, it's only because you weren't transforming your thinking. Amen. You were trying to you know, rationalize everything like the world does. Nothing that God does is rational to the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says it's foolishness to them. Amen. Foolishness. Amen. I had a guy one time where I worked at before. Amen. He liked to try to kill me. He knew I was a preacher. And so he'd come up to me and try to get something started, you know. And he said, man, he said, you know, I just can't believe that, you know, that you do that. And I said, yeah. I said, God, he takes the foolish things of the world. And I said, I'm about as foolish as you can get. Amen. And he just sits there and, you know, blinks his eyes a few times like a calf at a new gate. And then he moves on. But see, the foolishness of the world is the wisdom of God to you and I. Amen. And so everything is a treasure to us. Everything that you read in the Word is a treasure. You say, my goodness, look what God has given me. Look what he wants to do through me. Look how he wants to bless me. It's just beyond anything I've ever seen before. Amen? Hallelujah. Just look back at your life, how blessed you are. How do you think you got that? You didn't get it because you're that smart. No one has. Amen? No one has. Glory to God. So we got to start thinking differently. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Number four. I'm going to get done early tonight. Praise God. Pastor, you can come up and do the other 6 points of that. Hallelujah. Point number four is you got to know why you're part of the remnant. You got to know why. You got to know what your mission is. Every person has a part to play. Amen. Too many believers have no idea why they're in the body of Christ, except they know they're going to heaven. That's all they know. That's good enough for them. That's all they care about. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord also spoke this to me several years ago. He said, there are still too many of my people who have little to no knowledge of my word or my ways. Amen. Still too many. And I thought, after I thought that, I thought about Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Amen. Moses knew his ways because he spent time on the mountain. Amen. He saw a burning bush and he said, I will turn aside and see this thing. Amen. He was already going somewhere. But the bush drawed him in a different direction. Do you see that? That's pretty amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Keith Moore said this. I really like this. He says, I don't need a reason not to do something. I need a leading to do something. Amen. You don't need a reason not to. You don't need a reason to not come to church. You just don't come. Amen. I don't have to come up and say, well, I'm going to have to come up with a real good excuse for pastor whenever I text him why we're not coming. Amen. You don't need reason. Just say, hey, pastor, I decided to stay home tonight. I don't really want to come.
I will text back.
Amen. Hallelujah. He will. Yeah, he will. Amen. But where was I at? You threw me off there for a minute. Anyway, you don't need a reason not to do something. But you do need a leading to do something. There has to be something that is speaking to your heart to move you in a direction that you've never been before. Amen? To take you there. You're going to have something that's going to position you differently. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to know why we're doing the things that we do. Praise God. Amen. You're important in the body of Christ. Pastor Mark talked about this Sunday. Every member valuable. Every member. Amen. You and I have a part to play. Praise God. We're not here just to take a seat. Amen. Or to give an offering or to bring our tithe. That's part of it. Surely it is. Amen. But there's something that's just as important that a lot of believers don't do. And that is to ask God, God, what is my part in this service today? Would you want to use me in one of the gifts of the Spirit? Amen. Would you want me, you know, to speak in tongues or something like that? We don't ask that enough. We think, well, I'm going to be here, and I got children's church. I'm going to be a nursery. That's enough. Amen. I'm already taxed. You understand what I'm saying? But you and I should be asking this. I asked the Lord this. Very, very often, Lord, what would you have me to do today? If nothing, that's fine. I'll just sit there, be a good sheep, and I'll soak in everything that's being said. Amen? Hallelujah. But if you don't ask, you'll never know. If you just think that God's going to knock you over the head, you know, and throw you down on the floor, amen, that's not going to happen. Because you've not yielded yourself to anything. Amen? You're just sitting there stiff as a poker in that chair. Nothing's going to move me. Your white knuckles on the side. Amen? Bless God. I'm not going to do anything today. I'm just going to sit here today. This is my day to do nothing today. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you missed out when maybe the person who was sitting next to you needed you to encourage them. Amen? But you, this is not the day, Lord. Get someone else. Amen? Praise God. It's pretty wild, ain't it? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 5. We're almost done tonight. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at this. I've got one more scripture after this, and then we'll be done for tonight. In verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Say, that's me. That's who I am. Amen. I live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Ooh. Accurately. Amen. Verse 16 says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Amen. We can't just slop around. Amen. We got to have, our life should have purpose to it. Hallelujah. No matter what it might be. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. You know why most people don't? It's because they never ask or inquire of God. They just don't. Because they're concerned he's going to tell them to do something they don't want to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Would he do that? He might. He has. Amen. He will. Amen. So it's better to hear from him than it is maybe a thus saith the Lord from your pastor. Amen. He just might be miffed one day and just unload on you. Well, the Lord says you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And by the time you get done, we're carrying you out to your car. Amen. He wouldn't do that. Amen. He is a man of God. Praise God. Compassion, mercy flows through him. Amen. Hallelujah. Me, not so much. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when we were pastoring in Owensboro, I don't know what kind of spirit I had on me one Sunday, but it was just one of them times when I just felt like unloading. Amen. I don't know if I repented or not. Maybe I don't remember anymore. But anyway, I was saying some stuff to the people, and the people who know me knew the spirit that I was doing this in. Amen. Was like a spirit of correction, but in a way that might have been more forceful than others. Amen. And so I could see that some of them were getting kind of, you know, flushed in the face and kind of wondering if, well, this will probably be the last time I see them. Amen. And sure enough, I got a phone call from this one, and she said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. Hallelujah. And so anyway, we got together with him and talked to him, and she said, you're just hard. Amen. Well, I said, well, you know, things are hard. Things are tough. And we need to grow up. Amen. See, they were used to hearing sweet things all the time. And I can say sweet things. I can. Amen. Just not to you, but I can. For some reason to you, I just unload and hallelujah. Amen. But see, what was the point I was wanting to make there? Does anybody remember? Amen. Well, you got to redeem the time. Amen. We haven't got time to just be sweet and nice all the time. You got to be able to roll with the punches. You got to be able to understand certain things. Whenever there is an urgency that God is speaking, we got to be able to run with that. Amen. And it may not be at a very opportune time for you and I. But we still need to run with it. Amen. Because, see, we're still the body of Christ. And we're still here for a reason. We're still here for a purpose. Amen. And that purpose is to make sure that we are doing everything to the utmost. Everything, anything and everything. Do all things so that they please God and not ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't just wait around, wondering, well, one day, you know, God will tap me on the shoulder and he'll say, okay, your number's hit, your number's up. It's time for you. Amen. And then he pushes you out. That is not how he works. Amen. He is very into giving us leadings, giving us understandings about some things. But we gotta know what the mission is. This is the mission book here. Amen. This is the thing for you and I to grab onto and understand, praise God, so that we're seeing and doing the right things at the right time. Amen. Buying up every opportunity. Bless God, let's not let one thing. You know, there's been so many weeks that go by, I say, well, there's another wasted week I did. Didn't do anything prosperous. Amen. Has anybody ever had times like that where you think, man, what a waste. I've been better off, you know, doing about anything except what I was doing. Amen. See, we got to redeem every moment that we can. I'm not saying that every moment is going to be full of all kinds of stuff going on, but glory to God. We got to be ready for him. Amen. We got to stand like this, Lord, right here, this one, amen, which is where we're going to go in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's go there. We'll close with this, amen. Isaiah chapter 6, hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's look, starting with verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now, here he is. He said, woe is me. I've seen the Lord. I've seen the goodness of God. But what can I do? I've got my lips are unclean. I live among these unclean people. What can I do? What is my life worth to God in this situation? Amen. What you're doing is that you're seeing yourself through yourself. Amen. You're seeing yourself through the eyes of who you are as a person. With all the times you failed, all the times you didn't do right, all the times that you messed up. Amen. He said, I've seen the Lord. My eyes have seen the King. But what can I do? Amen. Verse 6 says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. What's that for you and I today? That's what the blood of Jesus has done. It has purged us from all of our sin. It has taken away the iniquity that was in us, amen. It has moved out every hindrance that could be, amen. Now you're free to do anything that God calls you to do, amen. And then he says this in verse 8, also I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me, amen. That's the thing. Praise God. There is nothing holding you and I back any longer. Even the things that we may consider to be, you know, a weight or anything like that. You know, in Hebrews it says, let's lay aside that weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let's get rid of those things. We don't need those things anymore. Amen. God is looking for, here I am. That's who he's looking for right now. He's looking for anyone that will do what he is asking them to do. Amen. And if there's enough of us doing the same thing, then it becomes easier for everybody. Amen. That's why it's so important for all of us as the body of Christ in this local house to do whatever we're asked to do. Amen. It may not be the greatest thing. It may not be something, you know, it's definitely not preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, son, I've been preaching for 20 years, and I still am very uncomfortable doing it. Amen. You don't get comfortable doing this, or at least you shouldn't. There should always be a little bit of apprehension, because what you're bringing is something that is so holy, so valuable to God. There should be a thing, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to mess up. Amen? Hallelujah. Anytime pastor asks me to preach, I always say, yes, I will, because he wants me to do it. Amen. And I want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I want to do what I've been called to do. Praise God. But that doesn't mean I think it's easy. Amen. That doesn't mean that I'm just flowing through this. Right now it feels like I'm hitting bedrock. Y'all aren't helping me. Amen. But yet I know the things that God has required of me. And I'm doing it the best that I know how at this time. Amen. So this is the remnant church, folks. These are the things that you and I are supposed to be doing, supposed to be giving ourselves to, doing them with joy. Amen. Doing them with a sense of assuredness that this is the thing God wanted me to do. Whenever I leave here tonight, I'm going to be satisfied that I did everything that God asked me to do. Amen. Because if I don't, I'm going to beat myself up thinking, well, you should have done this. You should have been like this. Or you shouldn't have said that. Amen. There's a lot of things I shouldn't say, but I say them anyway. Amen. And the same has come from every mouth in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what do we do about all this? Be available. You're prime for the call. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. Don't ask how it's got to be done. Just say, I'll do it. And God will give you the how. He'll give you the equipment to do it. Amen. And it'll be a blessing. Hallelujah. I'll go home tonight and I'll be at peace because I did the will of God tonight. Amen. How about you?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.